for the battle of the season.
Guys, welcome back to yet another episode of We Are Challenged, the podcast where myself and my friend Matt analyze, gossip, chat, whatever you want to call it, about the challenge. MTV's The Challenge. This season we have Battle of the Seasons, and we're on episode 2 now, so we're just starting out. Matt, what out of 10 would you give this episode?
I would give it a 4.5. Okay. I was not overly impressed with the episode because it just seemed very the challenge to determine who was the power couple ended up just being a political game, and it wasn't really that interesting. So that kind of took me out of the episode a little bit. I like San Diego, but they just annoyed me so much in this episode that now I'm turning against them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I understand there's going to be politics in these games. I understand there's going to be alliances. But I just felt it was kind of just, it was, This game was set up, this specific event was set up a little too much in favor of the alliances, and it gave teams too much power to determine who was going to go into the elimination round rather than it be determined on actual ability or performance.
Yeah. The thing that stood out to me the most in this episode is that I think there are too many teams on this show. First of all, the first challenge took up essentially the entire episode. And,
they cut a lot of it, too. It was very quick.
I know. You could just see, it was hard to even keep track of everybody because there were so many one against ones, and then it got all silly by the end because everybody was just, rigging it. And then TJ wasn't even giving his old, I thought he was going to start getting mad at them, but
yeah, he seemed like he was just about to be like, this is a joke, I'm out of here, but
yeah, I'm done. But I don't know. I think that's the thing that really came to light in this particular episode is that there's just too many people. I think that something is going to have to happen really soon. I think we talked about this last podcast where there's going to have to be a mass cut of people because there's just so many people.
We started off with 32. I actually thought we had 10 teams. We had 8 teams before. We had 32 teams. And now we're down to 28 players and 7 teams. But as I said, I think I calculated out, there's going to be 14, if they go at this pace, there's going to be 14 people in the final challenge, which seems like a lot. I think they need to probably cut it down at some point. Maybe, they might have built a buffer in, though, because someone like Frank is on the edge of getting kicked out almost every time he drinks. So that could happen where they... Frank gets kicked out and has to take one of the girls with him.
Right. I think, and something else, just to go on what you just said, something else that really comes to light about this episode is that Frank seems to be the guy who's holding all the power.
He is, and that's surprising because he can barely hold his alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. But it's impressive that he's... sort of kind figured out a way to get everybody under his reign, and people are calling him kind of the the Wes of this season now because he's kind of.
It's funny you say that because I was thinking there was somebody else that was called Wes Jr. in this episode, and that was Trey.
Trey, yeah, right.
Because Trey. Not so much because of his strategizing or his physical performance, more for his. Obnoxiousness and his whining and his me.
His ego, I think that they were also kind of commenting on. So Frank, an impressive, impressive character in this episode, even though he is really kind of annoying. I'm not a big fan of him as he's just an annoying person in general. But let's talk about, did anything happen when they went out the first time? I think some little romances came to light. It's becoming clear that Sarah has a little crush on Alton. This is when they went to the B speech in the first section.
Knight's professing his love for Jemmy and trying to propose to her, but she's having none of it, and good for her.
Right, and that comes into play in the towards the end, but in the beginning, it becomes clear that that's the only reason he's there, which is ridiculous. And then the other kind of romance that we see popping up is that Trey and Redhead
Laura,
former
Redhead, I believe she's she keeps changing her hair.
She goes back. They are rekindling sort of their romance. I don't quite understand what happened in between the season. Were they ever together?
Okay, well, I'll give a quick rundown because I know you kind of gave up on St. Thomas. Yes, but did. And I'm sure some other people listening did as well. Trey and Laura were hooking up. Trey had a girl back home.
Yes.
Trey may or may not have gotten that girl pregnant back home. And she may or may not have had an abortion or miscarriage. And Trey was playing both girl back home and Laura and saying like, oh, well, you know, this is just how it is. And, you know, I'm not looking for a commitment and trying to be all this cool guy, but really just being a douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
And then girl from back home comes to visit.
Right.
Trey breaks up with Laura, but is probably still hooking up with Laura. And he basically has Laura around his pinky finger, which is, and I don't understand why he's not really, I mean, I guess he's a decent looking guy, but like there are other good looking guys that I'm sure she's met in her lifetime that are, you know, at least nice guys, not total douchebag players. But I don't know what's happened in the off season. I'm assuming that Trey is back with his girlfriend back home or with other random girls he's met at bars, and him and Laura aren't hooking up.
Yeah, they're starting to hook up again, and we see that kind of go down, or, you know, there's a little bit of intrigue at the end of the episode. But anyways, what I also have to say that going to the first challenge, there always seems to be oil involved in the first challenge of the MTV challenges. So what did you think of the first one?
I thought it had an interesting idea. I mean, we quickly found out that there's an alliance. We're at this point, we're at eight teams, and there's an alliance of San Diego,
Vegas,
Cancun, and New Orleans. They have a four-team alliance, and St. Thomas is kind of the only one that's not in an alliance. They're kind of wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason they're wishy-washy is because Trey won't commit to being part of the alliance, even though San Diego wants St. Thomas. Trey's just being like, I'm playing for myself. And Marie is all pissed because Marie actually is smart enough to realize that they need to be part of this alliance. So those four teams, basically, the way the game was set up was you get to whoever wins gets to pick who goes against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have
I like that. I like those neat.
So you get to have four wins. You have to have four wins to get your fill your whatever, and then whoever gets the first four wins is the name of the power couple, and whoever has the last team, or whoever, I guess, the team that doesn't get four wins, because there's going to be finishes last, they have to go in. And so San Diego, Cancun, and Vegas, New Orleans quickly figure out that if they just pit players against each other and throw each little battle so that, you know, they each keep getting their four.
Yeah.
Four pieces, then they'll be safe. And they I guess somehow San Diego determines that they're going to be the power team, so they get to win first, and then subsequently Cancun, Vegas, New Orleans all get their fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to, I believe it was there's so many individual matchups. I eventually just gave up writing them down, but it came down to Melinda and Laura.
Yeah.
Melinda representing Austin, Laura representing St. Thomas, to determine who was going to finish last. And Melinda was very disappointing in this challenge overall.
Yeah.
And Laura beat her in a close matchup.
It was close, yeah. It was pinky to pinky, like they said. But then we just saw it kind of getting silly. Some of the matchups were good. I mean, they obviously went for it, especially in the beginning.
Yeah, the first few were good.
Yeah.
The Danny-Trey matchup was good. That ended up in a draw. I have to say, though, most of the men battles ended up in a draw because
Yeah.
I just think it's they. You know, it was just the point where I don't think anyone took on Big Easy. So.
Yes, a surprising draw was Dustin and
Zach,
the Hulk, Zach, and I mean, good for Dustin.
Yeah, very good for Dustin. It almost turned that first match turned very violent.
Yes,
and it so felt like it was turning into an MMA match because it seemed like there was punching too, which I don't know. I guess it's legal.
In the kidneys.
Yeah.
I saw that. And people were kind of complaining. And then there, oh, yes. And something that we need to discuss and then we need to move on because we're running short of time. But is what the little altercation, excuse me, which ends up being important in the end, between Camilla and Frank.
Yes.
Where they just get into a little argument about it get fighting dirty or whatnot.
And yeah, I believe Camilla was rooting for Dustin. And obviously, you know, Frank's rooting for Zach. And Frank, I guess, takes offense to the fact that Camilla's rooting for Dustin.
But I think he's taking offense to the fact that she's screaming out things like punch him in the balls, like just get dirty, you know, like don't be shy. And then Frank is like, shut up. And then Camilla's like, oh, you're so mad. And it was very immature. They're both very immature people. And so that ends up having repercussions because in the end, Frank and his team end up choosing the Fresh Meat team to go in.
Yeah.
But in between that and the final challenge, there was a little intrigue there where Jemmy and they all went to the club. We saw Jemmy and Knight having a little, I don't know what you would call it, lover's quarrel about... Sorry, go ahead.
I loved how you could tell this was the producers doing this too, where they got Danny and Melinda to somehow decide that that Jemmy and Knight were the equivalent of them.
Of them, yeah. It's like when they're just not even close. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't even make any sense. And Melinda was loaded, you could tell, and she's just standing there like covering Knight's mouth.
Yeah.
She just had no good advice to give and... that whole scene was stupid to me, but you can tell Jemmy wants this. She wants him to win her back. I don't know. It seems a bit false to me. Do you think, actually, here's a quick question. Do you think that let's say that Jemmy turned around and said, okay, marry me now. Do you think Knight would propose right then and there?
I think he would, but I don't necessarily think he would be married. And if he did get married, he might just break it off after a month.
I totally agree. That's what I think would happen as well. And I think that's what she's afraid of, is that he says that, but then he'll just kind of back out at the last minute.
Okay, so I have a question. Let's say hypothetically, I'm trying to think of a single guy in the house. Let's say single guy X. Mm-hmm. Let's say Brandon. Brandon's still there. Let's say Brandon. He's a good-looking guy. Brandon decides, hey, I like Jemmy. Jemmy's cute. Do you think Jemmy takes up, like, let's say, you know, Brandon starts hitting on Jemmy. Do you think Jemmy is open to Brandon or other guy hitting on her?
I think she's definitely open to it. And I think that's going to happen down the line because I think she really wants to make him sweat. And I think she wants to kind of hurt his feelings. So I think that's going to be something. And then there's going to be a fight between Knight and whoever. Even if somebody flirts with her,
yeah,
it's going to be a fight.
I'm kind of more curious to see how long Knight will hold out, because if at some point he's going to get frustrated where he's going to be like, she's totally ignoring me, he's going to get drunk and try to make out
with somebody else.
You know?
It's going to be one of the two, guaranteed. One of those two scenarios is going to happen. Maybe both.
I think he's going to try to hit on Mackenzie, and Mackenzie will tell Jimmy and something else will happen.
Yeah,
I do have my favorite quote of the episode.
Yes.
So when Team Fresh Meat was too, I don't know, disorganized to decide who was going to go in, which I thought was kind of, you know, crappy on Camilla and Brandon's part for not volunteering. I think both of them should have volunteered because, especially considering it was an endurance event, which obviously you throw Big Easy in there, that's a dangerous... you know, option. Of course, the endurance part of it was it was a 5-minute event, which isn't really an endurance event in my opinion, but Cara Maria's line said, I'm not good with balls. I think we need to talk to some ex-boyfriends and see if that's the case.
Are they together right now? They're always back.
I don't know, but
she's annoying. Camarilla's being really, I don't know. She's just being kind of like a snotty little spoiled brat, and so is Camilla. I don't know. The Fresh Meat team is giving me bad vibes, and they just can't seem to get it together. Big Easy seems to be trying to find some resolve between them all, but they're just, they're all kind of too good, too cool for school. They don't want to try. They're just, they're entitled. And then I like that they ended up having to kind of beg their way out, even though they didn't really...
Didn't succeed.
...try their best, and they didn't succeed. But I want to just say before we head to the final challenge that there's also a little scene between Zach and Jeanette, where they kind of declare that they're together officially outside of the game when they leave. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, they've hooked up. Like, it's very quick, and it's,
yes,
it's, these things usually happen, but it's usually very casual. I'd say Paula-esque.
Yeah,
I see
a future for these two.
I see an Ashley Jeanne face off in the future.
They didn't really bring that whole thing up, but yeah, they're, it sounds like they're officially together. But now on to the final challenge. We have 10 more minutes to kind of rehash just the ending of the episode. So they all got together, and all the teams were kind of begging San Diego to vote their way or whatever. And so it was Fresh Meat kind of went up to them, and then the other team that went up to them was
St. Thomas. But St. Thomas, but Trey, again, sabotaged the negotiations.
Yeah, by being just an idiot about it and talking himself up instead of kind of...
I'm kind of interested to see if Marie will go up to San Diego and their alliance and say, hey, I got an idea. You guys throw us in, but we put Trey and Laura in, they lose, and then me and Rob become a part of your alliance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Marie's only play at this point, is to just
throw
Trey under the bus, get rid of him, and then become part of the San Diego Rookies Alliance.
It's true, because Laura, even though she's not obnoxious, is just attached at the hip to Frank, is going to go along with anything he says. So she's not a really good player at this point.
Oh, you mean to Trey?
Sorry. And it's true, you're right. If they can get rid of those two and just kind of get with another team, that would be perfect.
It would be perfect.
But we'll see if that happens. So then they end up voting for Fresh Meat to go in, and Cara Maria makes some statement like, it would have happened no matter what. We'd said they were going to throw us in from the beginning. Do you think that's true?
I don't understand why they couldn't have convinced. I mean, I feel like they could have maybe convinced them to throw in St. Thomas. I don't know. She's probably right. They didn't have a chance, but,
if I feel like they would have as well, no matter what. And, because they're just, again, these Fresh Meat people are just walking around like they're too good for the place. Like, they just, you know, it's just an air about them. I would want to get rid of them too, because they are threats. Like, no matter what, they're all.
Yeah, Camilla just won. I mean, so.
Yeah. So I would probably have ended up, but now they're just going to be pissed the whole time. even more than they were. So, and anyways, they end up going to this ball challenge. Oh yeah, they picked the endurance.
Which I think was a weird choice, because the last two are mental and strategy, which are basically seem like the same thing. I feel like you know, against Danny, I would have picked something mental if you want Danny to lose.
Yeah.
And then that way you leave yourself two options, whereas this, it seems like the next two rounds are pretty much going to be almost the similar type challenge.
Yeah.
But then this one didn't, as I said earlier, it didn't really turn out to be I wasn't really an endurance challenge so much, because...
No, it wasn't.
It's 5 minutes long. Essentially, there was 25 balls, and they had to swing the balls over the fence to the other team's side. And after 5 minutes, whoever had the most balls on the other team's side won.
Mm-hmm.
And you initially think that, of course, Eric's going to be at a disadvantage because he's maybe doesn't have the cardio of, you know, the other players. But because he was so tall, he was able to kind of dominate this challenge because he didn't have to jump and he could just kind of stand there and just throw the balls over, whereas Danny and Melinda had to actually jump to reach the balls to push them over.
Right. I mean, and the, immediately when I heard it was endurance, I was like, oh, that sucks for Big Easy, right? But then he ended up, it ended up being totally fine for him.
Yeah, it ended up being a perfect challenge for him because I thought when they said endurance, it was going to be one of these, okay, strap on this 25-pound pack and run 5 miles.
Or one of those just kind of like standing balance, standing on a post for hours kind of thing. That's immediately what I thought. And then he would have lost, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, so he ended up winning. And then Melinda and Danny are sent home.
Yeah.
That ends the...
Team Austin is gone.
Yeah, Austin is gone. And then there was a little intrigue at the end there between Trey and Laura. Right after the challenge, after they won.
I can't stand Trey, but but yeah, I don't know, Trey, I just kind of give up after Trey after a while. Whenever he's on, I just need to stop watching. So you'll have to tell me what happened.
I actually don't know because again, MTV, stupid site. Sometimes these little clips don't work, but I could see just watching now that there was some final little thing and they were both crying. Anyways, we'll watch it again. We'll talk about it again next time because I doubt that it's really important. But the important thing is that Fresh Meat won. They're still around, probably a bit more bitter than they've ever been before.
Yes, I would assume so.
So what do you predict is going to happen in the future here?
Well, I mean, the San Diego Rookie Alliance is all well and good. But at the end of the day, this isn't a voting season. It's whoever wins. And as long as they don't have any challenges that can be easily fixed like last week's,
mm-hmm.
If Fresh Meat wins, if St. Thomas wins, and I'm forgetting a team. So many teams.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, I think Brooklyn's useless, to be honest. But if Brooklyn wins, then, you know, if one of those three teams wins, then they can throw in San Diego versus, you know, as long as one of those teams doesn't obviously finish last, but they can, you know, they could start to eat away at, you know, the other teams.
It was just set up this week to be that way, but I'm sure that next week it could be a totally different type of challenge that'll kind of ruin that little setup.
The other thing I was thinking is the Rookies Alliance is all well and good, but how strong is it when from the previews of future episodes and the trailer, it seemed like people were going after Dustin for his porn video. And I believed it was the San Diego guys.
Mm-hmm.
So if Zach and Frank are making fun of Dustin, who is part of their alliance, at least at this point,
that means it might have broken down.
I would think that, and I feel like Vegas is probably the swing vote at this point because even though, you know, oh, they're rookies, they're not really rookies. Everyone except for Nani has been in challenges before. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dustin's only been in one, but it's more than, you know, some of the other rookies. So he may, you know, maybe that, you know, cracks. And then I feel like Frank's put a huge target on his back.
Totally.
And I think some of these other rookie teams are going to be like, oh, well, you know, if Brooklyn gets the power or if St. Thomas, somebody else gets the Fresh Meat gets the power, then they might say, oh, well, you know, we're not really with San Diego. We think what Frank's doing is horrible. So you should get rid of Frank because I think that's the move all these other teams are going to do. Like, you think New Orleans is going to stand up for San Diego if it comes down to them? You know, they're going to be like, well, you need to get rid of Frank. He's the big boss, right?
Yeah, totally. And I think that before we end, I think we should come to a close. But another thing to look forward to is the fact that the next two episodes, we're going to see the mind challenges, which you don't see.
Used to be a spelling challenge.
The challenge. And so they've used up both of their athletic ones.
Yes.
Now we're going to see strategy and what was the other one? Intellect?
Mental.
Or something?
Mental.
Mental. So just mental. And so, yeah, we're going to have to see these guys use their brains.
And you know how much I love a good spelling challenge. I know you don't watch Bachelor Pad, but they had a spelling challenge in Bachelor Pad this season. It was awesome. It was so good. People were horrible. Like they were.
People are built to be athletes and funny on TV, but they're just not always the brightest bulbs.
I would love if Alex Trebek would just show up and be like, "Hi, TJ, I'm taking over for this one challenge," and then just mock them mercilessly after they.
And just walk out.
Yeah, and just be like, drop the mic and just say, "You guys are an embarrassment." Maybe that needs to be a new reality show where we put reality stars, and we have instead of having Celebrity Jeopardy, obviously is a joke. Yeah. But we need to have Celebrity Spelling Bee, but only with reality stars. And so we have to, like, Kim Kardashian spell against Paris Hilton, against, you know, someone from the Real World. And you'd have these – the best part about the Bachelor Pad Spelling Bee is the judges were, like, 10-year-old kids who had competed in Spelling Bees. like
that's awesome.
Giving them these dirty looks, like, I can't believe you can't spell – church, you know?
That has to happen. You have to get this organized somehow. I love that. I have one comment and then one question, and then we should probably wrap this up. But the comment is that TJ looks good without a hat. He always wears a hat, but he didn't in this episode, and I have to admit, he looks good. So, and then my question to you is, because we don't have a mic, like a signature smart person, who do you think, out of everybody, just off the top of your head, could come out on top in an intellectual challenge, like a spelling, let's say a spelling bee? Who's smart?
I think Alton's smart. He's more mature, so I think I give him the maturity / smart.
Oh, really?
He just seems...
I mean, I'm remembering his old reality personality, yeah. So you're right, he's older, he has more
maturity.
Chet, maybe... Could spell?
I think Chet's a faux smart person.
Yeah, I agree. Those boxes are...
trying to think, like, maybe Sam from San Diego?
Maybe.
She seems like she's got at least she's not... She hasn't said anything idiotic yet.
But isn't it funny that it's hard to even think of one...
Yeah, because, like, at least you knew when the spelling bee was going to happen. You knew Evan was going to win.
Yeah. God, who else?
Maybe CJ. Derek? Is Derek smart?
I don't know.
He doesn't talk enough.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I like Derek. Derek seems like a nice guy because he does have some, you know, had some funny comments, but it seems like he disappears for weeks and weeks sometimes in these challenges, and I kind of wish they had brought on one of the other two guys from that season.
Although Zach is humongous and seems like a he-man, I think he might be a little bit smart. A little. I think he could spell.
Yeah, he hopefully.
No, let's hope. They all end up being like dyslexic. These kids. Anyways, okay, so I think that wraps it up for another episode. Thank you again for joining us. Watch out for us on Twitter because I do every so often tweet during the challenges. I wasn't able to this week, but hopefully I will next week. And it's at We Are Challenged. And want to give out our email address, Matt?
It's wearechallenged@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, email us, message us, tweet us if you have any comments or if you have anything that you'd like us to discuss more on the show. And, so we look forward to next week. Hopefully it'll be a bit more... I know this week seemed to be just, like you said, strategy based and just kind of establishing all the alliances. But once they get that all sorted out, I think next week should be a bit more gripping.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right.
I don't want TJ to get angry.
Yeah. No one wants that. Okay. So thank you again. And we will see you next week.
See you next week. Everything turned. There is a season.